Hello?
You think you're there, and but then I call and you're not there. So
I know.
you must have thought wrong.
I wasn't actually there.
Yeah, I think I'm here, and then I call and you're not there.
I wasn't confirming for sure that I was here.
Yeah.
Possibly I was there, but I actually wasn't. No, because I sent you the message and then it just kept saying it was trying to deliver it and never delivered it, so I had to quit Skype
Yeah, I
to
got the
restart it.
message.
You got the message.
Yeah, I got the message that says I think I'm here.
I was
See,
wrong.
that was Skype fucking with you, 'cause you were like doubting it, and you doubted it,
Yeah.
had no faith in it, and it said, "Well, fuck you then. I'm gonna not let you get through."
That's right. It's like you don't trust us, then fine.
Yeah.
There goes your connection, sucker. How dare you?
It has trouble running on that Windows Me version. Isn't that what you run, Windows Me?
Windows Me, yeah. I'm never gonna switch. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Why would I go to a new operating system when I have access to everything? AOL, Windows
Prodigy.
Prodigy, Netscape Navigator.
DC Online through the AOL forums. You have everything you ever needed.
Got my GeoCities up and running.
Yeah.
Got my MySpace account going.
You could play Doom on your dial-up modem.
That's all right. I can get to all the BBSs. I have shortcuts to all of them.
That's right. Everything you've always needed. It's the only computer system that won't get hacked. When the apocalypse happens,
It'll still be running.
they're talking about like the floppy disks they're using in our nuclear, where they have our missiles, and they're using these huge floppy disks. And I said, well, when they upgrade, God help us that they don't actually set those off. Nobody hacks floppy
Yeah,
disks.
that'd be a dangerous operation, upgrading. I'll say they still use those like giant ones. I remember those.
Yeah, it was on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the older ones, yeah, you can see that.
They work. They're very reliable.
Slow as shit, though.
We haven't had a nuclear war yet.
Least they have. At least they're not using tape drives.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated those
Real
things.
to real or punch cards. And you go to get the punch cards and you drop the box of punch cards and they're out of
No.
order. Oh my God.
Although punch cards, that will never deteriorate or age or anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you keep them in the Mylar.
You could accidentally punch another hole in there though and cause a hell of a lot of problems.
Just could spill some coffee on it. No.
There you go.
It's my advice for the kids of today. If you want to survive the apocalypse, switch to punch cards.
Yeah. What
Course, the kids of today are like, what the hell are you talking about
the
punch
hell's
card?
a punch card? They had it made their whole lives. They don't understand.
My only exposure to punch cards was in school. We learned about how to use those. I think my first engineering project we had to do with punch cards.
I don't think I've ever had to do anything with a punch card. I was aware of the technology. It still existed when I entered the workforce. I
Yeah.
remember a really old machine. Not when I entered my professional career, but when I was a co-op, it existed.
Okay. I remember when I started working, we still had like the VAX systems. Actually, those are probably still around.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mainframes. And then mainframes came back. And then they went away again.
Yeah, they keep saying they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Then I had for our Commodore 64, we had a tape drive where you put in like an audio tape.
Yeah.
And played it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it took like half an hour to load the program.
It took a long time, but we at the time we didn't know what long was. Do you know what I mean? We just thought that was normal.
Yeah, it's normal. That's how long it takes. Well,
it's how
a big
long
program.
It takes.
Yeah, it's a big program, so.
Now, shit, when your Outlook mail doesn't come up, you're like, what the fuck? Do I need a reboot?
That's been taking more than 10 seconds.
Yep.
That was awful. I think you could record. Can you record to cassette, too? Like, record programs to cassette? I don't remember. Or was that just a floppy?
On the Commodore, you had to use the floppy.
Yeah, it's just a floppy.
The cassettes you had to buy. Like, they're already pre-programmed cassettes, mostly games and stuff, programs.
Yeah.
They plugged back. Didn't the cartridge plug in the back of the keyboard? Because the keyboard was huge. And then yeah. I thought the floppy disk was the.
It was separate.
The drive separate, yeah.
Yeah, that's what. I believe that's correct. I remember the cassette port was in the back of something, so yeah, must have been the keyboard.
I remember I had Larry Bird versus Dr. J on floppy. Ooh, nice. Good times.
I used to play some helicopter game. I can't remember what it's called.
On cartridge, I had some game called Congo or something. It was like a monkey. Pyramid type game.
That sounds familiar. I think I've heard of, I probably read a review of that game.
Yeah.
In my whatever magazine it was called.
Yeah, our programming magazine where we could write all those adventures.
Yeah, the ones where you had like, yeah, like 30 pages of code and you had to like type it in.
Yeah. And we did it and we smiled.
Because we were programming.
Yeah.
And then there's something wrong, and you'd try and figure out what the hell you did wrong.
We determined our occupation way back then because of Commodore.
So that had a lot to do with it.
That and pay grade.
Yeah.
When I was deciding on occupations, you know, I was like, okay, there's some things that are awesome, but will I ever get a job? Well, what do I really like to do? I'd like to make movies and make comics, but will I ever succeed? So I was like, well, I'll do, like, Jack Kirby has all these cool computer machines, and they have, like, Kirby Crackle coming out of them. I could go into engineering.
That's right. I want to work on one of those.
And those salaries are good, which means I could afford comic books. Mm-hmm. And I could afford to go to the movies.
So you gave up your artistic dreams for...
Yeah, fuck that. Well, I'm a huge proponent.
Huge sellout.
I am a huge proponent for achieving your artistic dreams through having money of your own.
That's right.
If I had kids, that's what I would try to instill in them. Like, I want you to be able to do your dream, but to do your dream... You're going to have like a one in a gazillion billion chance unless you have the money to do stuff yourself.
That's always been that's the path I chose. Go for the stability and then do the artistic stuff in your spare time.
Right.
And then if you get so lucky to be successful on the artistic side, then
you could quit. Right.
Switch over.
You could quit. Right.
But if you aren't successful, then you're still okay.
Right. Unless you're like a prodigy in your field, like, and you know you could succeed. And like when you're starting up, you know that you could live on nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not very into materialistic things. If you're into materialistic things, you have to take our path. Or you resort to a life of crime.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're a kid and you have like Alex Ross talent, then you don't have much choice. You're gonna pursue that.
And those guys are probably like, God damn, I wish I could be an engineer.
Yeah, I wish I was a programmer.
Like, I fucking hate drawing this shit. For all these whiny bitches on the internet that are just going to complain.
It's going to steal my art. Someone's going to steal it and apply some filters and sell it at a con.
Yeah. And say they drew it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Needs to make a table and just put some filters on it.
Be like, the guesser looks an awful lot like the Punisher with a hood over his head. And the Punisher sign blurred out.
Oh, that looks like Mike Zeckart on the cover of that Punisher miniseries. What the fuck is this guy doing? All he did was put like mosquito netting over his face.
Why do you have the Punisher limited series cover mosquito netting over it?
Like, I'll have a special cover that actually has real mosquito netting over his face. How about that?
You glue mosquito netting on it?
Yeah. We just put it on there. It'll be like a 3D effect.
For your con booth, you should just have mosquito netting like around the whole booth.
I wrote that part of the origin story.
Ooh.
And it was getting a little too dark for our universe, so I had to do some tweaks.
Maybe we can go dark.
I know we can go dark, but he's got like a ridiculous origin, but
it's too dark.
Well, it's still pretty dark because he does kill people.
Yes, he does. He's a...
But the more I think about it, I have to like advance the mosquito repellent, because if he always goes to work every day and is wearing off and it smells like centronella or whatever that stuff is, if he smells like mosquito repellent, people are going to know who he is.
Although there is a new kind that
I know that's scentless. Yeah. Me and Barb were talking about this, so we're really thinking about this shit.
Yeah, we're thinking it's this no fly by night operation. Comics. We take this shit seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what the new kind is.
And the next few pages, I'll be talking about the neural net technology that allows him to do predictability algorithms to predict if somebody's going to commit a crime or not. And that gets really complicated. Because you got to explain how he has access to this data to make neural net technology.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, and I've been working on the liquor.
He's basically training neural nets based on historical things and then using it for future predictability.
Right, it just crunches the numbers basically, right?
Yep. And he trains the neural net, and then the neural net learns. And it says, okay, the probability's pretty high with this guy. Guess what?
Fantastic.
Well,
can't wait to see it.
I only think I'll have like two pages left. Two pages, maybe three. I won't be done. I just don't have all that much time. Well, that's a small little bird. Is that a hummingbird? No, that's not. It's just like a baby bird.
A baby bird.
Yeah, he was in the bird bath. He's a tiny little dude.
Oh, he drowned. So much for that bird. Well, we said we're only going to do our first page by Heroes, right?
Yeah. I can send it to you on your Dropbox. You can see what I did so far. I only have one thing about the liquor, but he got arrested.
Liquor does not get arrested.
He got arrested, but they don't have anything. They don't have anything to. They don't. There's no crime for licking people.
Well, it could be. It could be assault, but.
Well, his lawyer got him. Gonna get him out.
Yeah, they might drop the charges because.
But I created two females, so it looked like sexual harassment. Two female villains that he was licking.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to sync up our storylines. Cuz I don't know if they happen at the same time or not.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they could.
Why could they not?
I just think
that'd be cool if they did.
Well, it would be cool if they did because they're kind of like one shots, right?
Yeah, cuz then you could go they would just tie together like a reference to what the Licker was doing in his comic, a reference with what the Guesser is doing.
Yeah.
But I will have a scene where the Licker gets into trouble for licking someone. So that's good. And he does make the news because news of a guy running around licking people is going to make the news.
I have a sex scene with the Licker on it where he's like, he like tells this girl like, sit on my face. Sit on my face. And he could actually feel her orgasm because he's licking it. How about that? I'm turning your comic into a triple X comic.
Triple X porn.
I even got the music playing in the background, the sound effects. Bow, chicka, bow, bow, chicka, bow, bow. Oh, boy.
I haven't written my first page yet. So far, I've brainstormed ideas, and I have a character profile.
I have written my first page and a half, and nice. I've created three characters that have powers, and I have a supporting cast that leads them into turning. Well, there's a tragic death that leads him to become the Guesser, but then there's a build-up. There's a build-up, and something happens to some people he knows, so...
The Mafia kills his...
kills his family.
That kid.
No, I have to relate it to the mosquitoes, didn't you see?
Good.
So it all comes back down to... his wife, who was in parasitology, see? So I got this all planned out, man.
Nice. Good. Yeah, I have a couple... I do have a... That's why we got to sync up our side characters to make sure... Because I have a couple super characters in my world, too.
And I was thinking about a flashback scene that introduces three of the football players that are in First and Ah...
Cameos?
They're cameos, but nobody will know it unless they listen to this podcast.
Yeah. What about Donna Matrix walking down the street?
Maybe he'll walk down the street and see, man, I can't believe people go into these things, and then they'll see the guy from First and Ah walking right in.
Walking into Donna Matrix's place.
Yeah. Continuity, bitches. The red sky. It's all red everywhere. That's a Crisis reference. You probably don't know it.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's Marvel, right?
DC or Marvel, you don't give a fuck.
I did read Rebirth.
DC Rebirth. How did you get that?
I mean, how did I get it?
Well, usually a month off, I thought, because of your shipment.
Yeah, it came out. It must have been the last week of the month. Last month.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about DC Rebirth just a little bit because I beat the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, you covered it.
Yeah. I sure did. What did you think? Being a guy that doesn't read any DC, what did you think about DC?
I read some DC, but I am not steeped in DC history like you. That is for certain.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought they did a great job of...
Did you get most of I know you read Watchmen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have that part of it. You're aware of Wally, right?
Yes.
You're aware of the legacies of the Wally.
Yeah.
You're aware of the JSA and the Thunderbolt, correct?
Not entirely, no.
Okay, so you're not aware of JSA.
Well, I'm aware of them, but not the history.
But I know for a fact you're aware of Ted Kord and Jaime, the two Blue Beetles.
Yeah, I know the Blue Beetles stuff.
And I know you know who Ray Palmer is.
Yeah, and I know who Batman is.
Yeah.
Superman.
So you get the gist of
Yeah.
majority of the
Yeah, the only thing I think I didn't really pick up on was the Thunderbolt stuff.
Oh, that was amazing.
But I heard you talk about that on your podcast, so.
Yeah, I heard the one thing I forgot to mention on my podcast, though, that was really important to that scene. I mean, I broke down in that scene, but the thing that's really important that I interpreted that a lot of other people I talked to didn't interpret was that the Thunderbolt was part of the Speed Force. And I still go by that theory because there's that one light, the thing he was attracted to the lightning, and the lightning was bounded to Johnny, and he was able to go there and because of the link to the Speed Force on the lightning. So, yeah, that was pretty important. 'Cause you're like, why would he go see him?
Right, you figure, yeah, there must have been a reason he
I mean,
tried to go see him.
there's all the legacies 'cause he's, one of the JSA, but
It says, yeah,
why
he's
would he
connect.
be why would he be attracted to him if he's not attracted to the Speed Force?
Yeah, well, because he said he's connected to the lightning or
Lightning.
whatever, right? Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is awesome. I don't know, it was an amazing story.
Yeah, I thought it did an amazing job of tying things together finally. It's setting everything. Well, it sets it up, but you don't really know where they're going to go from here, so. It was
I like
very
it
well
because it
done.
was the other thing that I think is really important is a lot of people say, well, fuck, New 52 don't matter, but it does. Because it's in continuity. At least in my mind it is. You had Flashpoint that led to the New 52, which we know it was based on Barry trying to save his mom, but it was also based on Dr. Manhattan fucking things up. You know what I mean? And then that kind of led us into Rebirth, and then you see when you read the first issues of Rebirth that the New 52 did matter. Do you know what I mean? It does matter. So it's not a reboot. It's more like a Secret Wars thing that Marvel did a few day, a year ago.
Wasn't is Rebirth still in the New 52 continuity?
Yeah.
But they're now remembering other things? Is that what it
Well,
is?
yeah.
So both but they have both histories now.
Right. Well,
Sort of.
are you buying any of the Rebirths?
Yes, some of them.
Are you buying Green Arrow?
I don't know, I'd have to look it up.
Oh.
Wish I should have just got the bundle. I know. Son of a bitch. I don't know, I have to look it up. Why are you gonna spoil it?
Well, I was going to tell you as an example why it's the same but different. But I don't want to do it if you're going to buy it.
Let me look it up. Unshipped items.
Because this won't be until, I won't
Green.
release this until next week, next s Saturday or Sunday.
Not un wait, that's not unshipped items.
It would have shipped. Well, for you, it wouldn't have shipped.
I
Just
thought I
search.
could search unshipped
What?
items.
Just go to unshipped items and look for. You can search for unshipped items.
Let's see a
Or
search box.
go to your order form and do it.
Oh, yeah, order history. There we go. Green.
Green Arrow, it'll say no. We don't know what you're talking about. It's a DC book.
No, it does look like I didn't order it.
We're like in two different modes right now, though. Like, I had to like break out of my flow of things because I was so ingrained in Marvel and DC this week to read these books that you
Yeah, well, you're catching up on some of
Well,
the.
it's hard when yeah, but I have to at least read some of it because I'm getting really behind in my indies, but for the other stuff, I've been like my mindset has been so in tune with it. The other stuff right now,
Yeah, that's the zone you're
it's
in
hard to
now.
break away. but DC Rebirth, yeah, it was the art was great. The still the biggest scene for me is when Wally breaks through to Barry. I mean that, and who to capture that emotional scene better than Phil Jimenez? I don't know if you ever seen him speak at a con or anything, but
Don't think so.
he gets real emotional about his art, like almost like tear emotional sometimes. So like I know that he had a lot of passion when he drew this thing. I like when artists too have those panels and then they like do like, oh, this is how I draw really fast and this is how things are done, and then they have like a sketch, like a one of those big things to draw on just to show like how they do certain things, and then they do
Like
it and
an
then they sketch.
overhead projector.
Well, it's not a projector because they can't give those away. These are paper. And then they do it, and then they give the paper away at the end of it. And it's like, holy shit, you have a Filomena sketch. I mean, for free. That's even better. And I'm not going to sell that shit, you know? But yeah, I love when they do that. And usually they do. I just was fortunate enough that they got them at like one of these small ass cons. Like, it was like a comic fest, but before they had the sci-fi fest, which is the draw for everybody, and the comic fest is just like one small hotel across the street. And they had Phil Jimenez, and I mean they would get like 10 big names, but your accessibility to these 10 big names was pretty fantastic. Like, it wasn't like you waited in a line or anything. And when he was drawing stuff, like people would ask him for a head sketch, like he wouldn't do like big old commissions or something, but he was doing them for free at this con.
Oh,
Like, he's
just
like,
quick
I
head
mean, how,
sketches.
yeah, how many people would do that?
Right, because they're not making
So,
them.
yeah.
Although he's getting paid to come out there, so.
Yeah. He is. Free room and board and
But still
everything
not,
else.
it's still nice to do something like that.
Yeah, because other people wouldn't. So yeah, that was a great con, man. I mean, it was small. There was just local talent there,
Yeah,
plus 10 big names, and there wasn't a lot of vendors. There was maybe like one small room with comics back issues, but it had like an essence about it that was so different than any other cons that I've been to, like an intimacy about it. And it gone away because the people that were in charge of it, Jason Page and all those guys, they're no longer part of it anymore.
that's too bad. I was going to say, though, back to the creators who don't do that, some of them just can't do it because they have like a constant line of people. So all they can do is sign a book and say hi and then got to go to the
Yeah,
next
yeah,
person.
yeah.
So they just have a constant line. So
True. Did you order Green Arrow?
I did not.
All right, so this is an example. Like in DC Rebirth, they show like Black Canary and Green Arrow like having these feelings like something was missing, but they don't know what it is.
Right, they looked at each
They
other
looked
and
at each other, right?
connected, yeah.
Well, they connect on that. So like Black Canary was still a singer like she was in the New 52, right? And then she just took a trip to Seattle to meet Ollie and work on this adventure together, but they had never like met prior to that other than maybe in a Justice League adventure or something, you know what I mean, where they were just acquaintances. But they look at each other like they're connecting on some level that was built upon in Rebirth, but they don't know what it is. So yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's so different for every book. And then if you look at Green Lanterns, which came out, they focus on Baz and Jessica, who's the one that's been in Justice League, who had the crime syndicate's power ring and then got the real ring. And that flows right out of those books. So that's New 52. You look at Batman, and it flows kind of out of what Snyder had done, you know? It's just like a passing of a guard issue. And then on Superman, it's everything that was focusing on Rebirth, which is the death of the other Superman and the post-Flashpoint Superman. Or post-crisis Superman, however you want to say it. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's really good. I've read all of them already, and they just came out. They were all really good.
I did a search in my past orders for Rebirth, and I forgot there was a Flash Rebirth back in 2009.
Yeah, there was the Geoff Johns. That's how Barry came back.
Yeah.
Which is a key issue, I think, to get to read. I mean, to get full emotional impact, you have to read that in Flashpoint. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Flashpoint and Watchmen in Rebirth. And for it to have substantial meaning to you, you have to be familiar with the properties.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go back and read that. It was funny, I looked to see if the library had those, the Flashpoint stuff.
Yeah.
And they do, but it was checked out, so I'm like, someone else had the same...
Same idea. Well, the other thing you could do is, do you have Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
You could watch the animated. They do a really good adaptation of it. Like,
I haven't seen that.
It condenses it because it has to. Mm-hmm. But the world building and the major plot points are all covered. So like, you could watch the cartoon and then you'll see.
I'm gonna understand everything.
Yeah, you'll understand everything that you need to for the comic book.
Yeah, there's a bunch of I added a bunch of the DC animated stuff to my queue. They have a bunch on there now.
Yeah, there's a lot of Justice League stuff right now. Flashpoint. There's Batman, Son of Batman. I haven't watched it yet, but yep. So what other books do you want to talk about?
I read a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so did I. I read a lot of
Marvel. You read more than me, but you always read more than me. So that's nothing new. I don't know. What do you want to start with? Oh, I put this in the wrong spot.
Well, let's start with the one that I didn't read, and I don't even know if I know what it is. I think you said it was Bloodstain number one, volume one or something. What is that?
Yeah, Bloodstain volume one.
I'll probably have it. Oh, what I was... I do have this.
You do have it?
Well, no, I like looked at the title and I was like, it doesn't sound familiar to me. This now it's familiar because I have it in my inventory. This was the Linda Sajic thing,
right?
But I didn't read it.
Okay, you didn't read it because you didn't think you had it.
I didn't think I had it because I was like, what the hell is that title? But I remembered I ordered it because it was a one shot and it was the Sajic, and I didn't know it was his wife at the time. But I ordered it because I've been ordering those other books that you got me into, the
Sunstone?
Yeah, Sunstone volume.
I gotta catch up on Sunstone. I'm behind.
But the one thing I did notice about the books you chose is there's a lot of pussy eating in books.
I didn't notice that theme.
So I was like, that's why I got the idea from the liquor.
I was doing homework for the liquor.
I thought it was on your mind. I'm like, holy shit, man, there's two books where Bill picked that had this stuff.
Yeah, I've been having to do a lot of interesting research for the liquor. Honey, I'm doing research. It's all research. Don't look at my browser history. Whatever you do.
That's right.
So what were the two?
What was what? Oh, you don't remember?
No.
Satellite, the satellite falling, or what was that the title of it?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
That one
satellite falling.
has one, and it has it with an alien going down on her. And then the other one was the trade paperback you had us read, which was
Oh, that empty zone.
Empty Zone, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think I vaguely
She
remember the
actually
piece.
killed her arm went nuts and killed her after that scene. And that's when she went after those people.
What do you know? I didn't realize there was a theme.
I catch on to these things, man. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
I didn't read the two back to back though, like you did,
Yeah,
or close together.
I think he's got this link. He's
I don't
like,
even remember the one of satellite falling. I'm gonna have to look through now.
you don't remember that one? That was,
Was it early on with her girlfriend?
well,
Oh no, the alien you
the
said.
alien, she's like the alien creature that can morph itself into different beings, and it morphs itself into a female.
Oh, that's
And
right.
because
That's
she says,
right.
I'm all into girls, right?
Yeah, that was weird.
So,
Yeah,
let's
so in
talk
this.
about satellite falling because we're here. Like, we
Yeah.
already introduced it.
Oh, that's right. I'm turning to the page. Yeah, that was. I remember now. How
Yeah,
could I forget that?
I don't
That was
understand.
the cop, right?
Yeah, now if you ask me to describe satellite falling, I'll remember that scene. Like, I won't remember anything else that happened, but
Remember
I'll be able to tell you that.
yeah, because that scene was good. Cause, yeah, because she's a like independent, like investigator, I guess, and she does work for the police force, right?
Yeah.
And then the chief. Okay, so to set this up, it's a the whole story takes place on this city on a satellite. So it's this huge city, a bunch of buildings and stuff on this up and out in space. And she, our main character, is the only human in this city. So, but she works for the police force, and there's a bunch of different aliens from all over the place on this in this city. And then the chief wants to get with her, but she's like, "No, I'm only into chicks. I'm not into dudes." So he like transforms into a female.
And it's
Cause
weird
he.
too, because she could transform too with her technology, right?
Yeah, she has like yeah, so her thing is that she has some technology which it appears like she is she the only one who has that technology?
Yeah, and it's illegal.
Yeah, but for some reason she can use it. I don't know why. Guess because she's a human. I don't know.
But it's weird because that chief guy, he actually like they introduce him and it's like he really cares about her. Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
then you're like, wow, why the hell is he blackmailing her to do this next mission? Like he blackmails her to do it.
Oh, does he say like I'll
Yeah.
turn you in or whatever?
Yeah, she's roped in. She can't get out of it.
So then, yeah. So then she goes undercover to investigate this new drug that's coming out. So she disguises herself as one of the aliens and goes undercover.
This was a really good one. I like this one.
I liked it, and I love the art, man. Let me look up who the artist is here.
Well, it's Horton and Thompson. So Horton is probably the writer. Written by Steve Horton, art by Stephen
Stephen
Thompson.
Thompson. Yeah, Stephen Thompson. The art is amazing, and one of the things that's really amazing about it is he like puts like all the detail into the backgrounds and stuff. Like there's no like he didn't take any shortcuts when it came to the backgrounds. Like there's tons of like little alien creatures everywhere and
No,
tons of detail.
he drew we know the real reason he drew a good eating out scene.
Yeah, he draws. He
So
draws,
much
yeah,
detail,
the
alien breast
alien
disease.
titties. Yeah, the alien male slash female titties.
Oh, the creature designs are pretty awesome too.
Yeah, there's a
There's
lot of
a
aliens.
lot of aliens in this thing. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I liked it too. Who's that? So that's IDW brought that one out.
Yeah. That one could be my favorite, but I'm not 100% sure. Because I think my favorite was the one I picked, and I don't know if you read it. I don't know if you ordered it.
I did not order it. Wait, I was gonna look that up.
Three Stooges?
Yeah, because that was one I was like on the fence. I don't have it, so it's either... Let me look. Three. No, I did not order it.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch!
Well, I'll talk about it briefly, but it's just like the Three Stooges. It just done so well. So like if you'd ever watched the shorts of the Three Stooges, you'd get like a bunch of adventures. Mm-hmm. And they were like shorts, unless you went into their movies, you know, their featured films. And that's what this was. It featured three shorts. One was like at a baseball park where they were fucking up everything. One of them is when they're like, do they call them like gumshoes or like those detective agencies, undercover cops? What do they call them? Like it's in the 40s, they would have like... detectives, I forget what they call them. Were they gumshoes or what?
Yeah, I think called? That something like that.
I don't know what the term is, but that this beautiful female came in and says, "I need some detective work," and she goes to this handsome guy to get the work done. And he's like, "You know what? I'm in the middle of a mystery right now where they killed my partner, and I have to figure out what's going on, and I can't do it. But I could recommend the guys across the hall." And they're like, hello, hello, hello. You know, they do their stupid shit. And then they go on a mission and to get her pictures of her being framed. I guess there were pictures of her doing something. And they saved the day, but not in the way they intended. They didn't retrieve the pictures she did because she knew they would just distract the criminal guy that had the pictures of her. So yeah, it was really good. And then they had an old Dell, like I guess Dell used to publish them, you know, when they're 12 cents or whatever. That had Joe Curley and Mo, you know, and there was like a couple of, you know, there was a couple of them. There was Shemp, Joe, and Curley, right? And then there was Larry, but Joe, Shemp, and Curly kind of like alternated. Curly was definitely the most popular, even mm-hmm. though Shemp, in my eyes, Shemp was my favorite. Like the Shemp episodes to me are the best. I thought he was amazing. And then there was Joe, who was a knockoff Curly. At least that's the way I like to think of him. But it had a reprint of that, and then it had like some factoids of them, like that. Shemp,
I didn't know it was gonna have a reprint. That's interesting.
Yeah, it had like an old.
Who's the publisher? This is a new publisher.
American Mythology.
Yeah.
And I listened to the comic book page still, and they had reviewed another book, but I wasn't interested in it because I don't watch it. It was the Stargate one, and they thought it was awful. So I was like, man, I wonder what they're gonna do with this property, because this was like a Kickstarter too. I didn't support the Kickstarter, but I bought the off of previews.
Okay. I didn't know it was a Kickstarter.
It was like it's one of those things that like, if you're a fan, you're like, man, they just like nailed it. Like I had to give it a 5 out of 5 because
great.
It was the Stooges. I mean, it was.
So the humor came across.
Yeah, the humor came across. Yeah. I was like, it was like watching fantastic. One of those black and white episodes.
Yeah, that's one. I mean, you know, you're taking a gamble when you order something like that because it could go either way. It could be good or it could be just like horrible.
Yeah,
it just depends if the writer like cared and was invested. So, who was the writer of it?
There was a couple of them. Let me see if I could find it. I have a stack of books here that's ready to be bagged and boarded. And most of them are Marvel because, yeah, it was American Mythology. I think it was like different teams.
Okay.
Shemp invented the eye poke, which I thought was amazing. That's probably why he's my favorite stooge. Triple Knuckleheader was written by S.A. Check and Bill Galvin. Big Neck 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 was J.C. Vaughn and Brendan and Brian Frame. So they're like people I haven't heard. And then Midway Madness was from Del 4 Color from 1942 was Jerry Belson and Sparky Moore, so
Okay. I was just looking in the latest previews, there's a Three Stooges, Red, White, and Stooge number one. And it's S.A. Check and then the Frame Brothers.
yeah. I
Or
really
I
liked
assume
it.
they're brothers.
I really liked it a lot. But I'm a fan of theirs.
Right, you're
So,
a stooge head.
yeah, like American movie classics would sometimes would show them on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings, and I would watch them. I'd sit there and watch them. And it's like mindless entertainment because they're always beating the hell out of each other, but it's it. I find it funny.
Yeah, I never really got into them.
I'm into old comedies like The Three Stooges. Laurel and Hardy are like my favorite. Like I love Laurel and Hardy. Like Honeymooners, I love the Honeymooners. I don't know. I just Buster Keaton, all these old things, even Charlie Chaplin, I have an appreciation for.
Yeah.
But like I watched a lot of them. I think in high school I took a film appreciation class, and it made me, like
Made you
enjoy,
appreciate.
made me appreciate comedy, like old comedy.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah, I got into some of
I
that.
watched the Orson Welles, what do you call it? In that the famous, what is it called? What is the Orson Welles movie that's like a the most talked about thing with the sleigh at the end of it? God, I can't think of the movie. God damn
Citizen
it.
Kane.
Yeah, Citizen Kane. I fucking hate that movie. That's the other thing I realized is this thing's like
It's
so
not a
critically
comedy,
acclaimed.
so
No, it's like it's not for me.
this is not funny at all.
I don't understand this thing, god damn it. What's the big deal? But it's supposed to be like a film, like a perfect film, like if you're like into the way films are done, I guess.
Yeah, Stooges I didn't never really got into. Laurel and Hardy I liked. Buster Keaton, of course. I mean, he's legendary, so
Yeah.
his stuff is amazing.
The Stooges are a lot of the same stuff. So you have to take your dosages. But there's cool plots to them too, like what they get into. I dig them. That's probably why you didn't order this if you're not a Stooge fan, you're probably not gonna enjoy
Right,
it.
I didn't have the history, so it was on my possible list, but it just fell off. Didn't make the cut.
So the guy who thinks he's the Three Stooges is not going to be on the fucking satellite in your comic book. Just the Laurel and Hardy character.
Okay, no Three Stooges guy. Although that'd be pretty funny.
Nyuk,
That would actually work better because that's more
nyuk.
physical.
It's more physical comedy. It'd be like Fight Club, except with a comedic tone.
One
He's
guy
beating the shit out of himself.
poking himself in the eye.
Would work better because Laurel and Hardy's magic is very visual
There's his, yeah, in verbal.
and verbal.
The
There's
back and forth.
more to their verbal communication, whereas these guys are just arguing all the time. Do you know what I mean? They don't get along, and they're easily distracted. So it would make for an easier adaptation, at least in a comic book, I think.
That might be too distracting, though. They would like take the. They'd steal. They might steal the
They could, but the thing about them is they'd be so distracting. They're your comedic. Like they might not even know they could escape or do whatever they have to do on the satellite because they're so distracted with whatever else is going on.
If they're fighting,
The fighting,
infighting.
it's yeah, infighting.
Maybe I have to change it.
Copyright at Mike Myers Brunch.
So, I don't think you can copyright Three Stooges. That's my invention, the Three Stooges.
It was there's things that like can't be like on most people's radar as a 5 out of 5, but when something that you love is adapted, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like New Frontier or, Darwin Cook's, or any of
Right.
these masterpieces that we talk about, like Zombie Tramp. But no, I'm just kidding. But it, you know what I mean? It's just like something that adapts so well that you're like, wow, it's like a perfect adaptation.
Yeah, pretty great. They did a good job with the adaptation of
And
it.
you know how I talked about Archie, how I love when a comic like will have the new adventure and then have the 40s stuff, the historical stuff, and this had that. So it like hit my I don't know, things I really like. And I get the historicals as well as the current.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that they included that in there.
Because I love comic history and Golden Age comic ridiculousness is fun. I mean, like Archie and Three Stooges, good. So what else we got? Oh,
Well, first,
you were going to talk about Bloodstain.
yeah, first I want to I since I grabbed previews to look at what American mythology was doing, they're an in interest I'm trying to figure I can't really get a good grasp on what they're going for, because they have like some older stuff that they're doing, but then they have like newer stuff, like they're doing the new Broken Moon series that used to be Steve Niles but isn't anymore. And
What?
they've taken
No, the
Days
bro.
Missing.
You're getting. Maybe I'm getting these confused. I thought there's two American publishers. Are you not
Oh
getting
wait.
confused?
I'm sorry. I was on the wrong page.
Yeah.
Never mind Broken Moon. But they are
It's
taking Days.
Broken Moon is the other American
Yeah,
Gothic
that's American
Press.
Gothic. This
Don't get
American
them confused because
mythology.
American Gothic Press has Broken Moon and like Lost in Space. Lost in Space is great. Another fine adaptation if you love. Like, this is a show that I would come home from school, like in junior high and maybe even early high school, and watch the reruns on Fox or whatever syndication station they had at the time. And I like loved Lost in Space. Talk about holding the test of time. If you can attract a teenager from other things to watch it,
Yeah,
I
watch Lost in
fan of
Space.
Lost in Space. But that's American Gothic
Yeah,
Press.
that's American Gothic. Which is interesting that both American Mythology and American Gothic Press are doing new stuff and reprint like old properties as well.
Yeah.
Because American Goth or American Mythology is also doing The Land That Time Forgot.
Which is also a property.
And they're doing this. They have the Tales from the Vokesverse, so it's stories drawn by Neil Vokes.
Oh, I gotta order that.
It's like a anthology type thing, where it's different writers, but all his art.
And then they got a book called The Naked Are the Damned 2.
Yeah, Naked or the Damned too.
That sounds really sexy. You know I'm gonna be buying that in Devil Dogs Guts and Glory. I think I'm gonna go all or buy every one.
All in on, except for Days Missing.
I already bought that. That's a reprint.
Oh, is that still reprinting?
That says new edition.
Okay.
I have the first two volumes.
Yeah.
That was a different publisher at the time, but they're just reprinting it, whatever. So yeah, that was good.
Bloodstain. So, yeah, so that's the new. So it's a new series from Linda Sayek, who is whatever his name is, Stepan Sayek's wife. Similar art style, the similar computer color drawn stuff. This one is about a it's a girl who I think she graduated college and is trying to find a job and is having difficulties. And her older sister is married and is constantly on her case about getting a job. She tries different jobs and can't succeed at them. And then on a bulletin board, she finds an ad for this for being an assistant, a scientist's assistant. So she calls him up and has this weird interaction with him because he's this really weird dude. And then by the end, she decides to take the job with him and go to where he works. I liked it. My only complaint is that it pretty much this first volume was a lot of setup, and I kind of wish she had gotten to the main story a little quicker. But it was good. It was well done. The other thing is, it's kind of written.
What
How do
happened
I?
there?
What?
Did you like shoot a rubber band or what happened? I
I
heard like,
dropped. I dropped a clip.
oh, okay.
I'm surprised you heard that.
A gun clip?
Yeah,
What
yeah. Well, I'm preparing for the apocalypse.
did
I'm cleaning my gun. I like to clean my gun while
Man
I
shoots himself while podcasting.
podcast. Be unfortunate.
Well, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And oh, that there's a lot of like cutesy stuff in there. So this might be skewed to a slightly younger audience than an old man such as myself.
Ah, that's a weird thing with a title called Bloodstain.
Bloodstain. But I will say, like, the logo is like awesome. I love it. It speaks to me. It looks like an old 80s like horror movie logo that you'd see like in a video store.
Yeah. There's a Cullen Bunn like 80s horror that came out, and I don't know if I ordered the second issue, and it's from a weird publisher, so I don't know if I'll be able to tell DCBS to add it, but it's let's see, if you look up Lion Forge in your previews, it just came out.
I think I ordered it, whatever it is. What's it called?
I don't think I ordered number two though, which
Oh,
is bad. See, that's what happens with small publishers is I'll forget. Like, I never usually forget like IDW, Dino, you know, because they're all like I already know what I'm getting or Image. But when I get to these really weird publishers, and I always remember Amigo because I always go to Amigo. But there's ones like this one that I just start. And I forget about them. Do you know what I mean?
Lion Forge, Night Trap.
Night Trap. Yeah, 80s horror right there, baby.
Yeah.
And then I also
Lions.
ordered Wave Guerrero's Warrior's Creed by Fabian Nziza. That they both came in this last week.
Okay. And did you order number two of
No.
that one?
No, I didn't. So I'm gonna have to send him an email. And sometimes with those ones, they say, "Yeah, we could do it," and then they come back later and say, "Diamond can't do it," you know?
Yeah, and they come back 6 months later.
Yeah, it's 6 months and say your credit's been.
Yeah.
If it's an Image one or DC or Marvel, you get credited pretty fast. But if it's one of these obscure ones where the notification just doesn't happen through Diamond fast. And then you're
Yeah, you'd be
notified
waiting.
6 months later, yeah. So Bloodstain was the only one that I didn't read because I thought I didn't have it, and until I pulled it, that's what I should have done is pull it up on my database because I started the new process of inventorying him before I even read them. Which is the way it should have always been, but I would only inventory them after I read them, so it really skewed things. It made life difficult though when knowing what you have and what you don't have.
Right, because then you have to go through an extra
Yeah,
step to.
yeah. So What else did you pick? Oh, you picked Alan Dracone
Alan Dracone.
from Amigo Comics, and
Amigo.
this was only adapted by our guy El Torres. So he
Right.
like
Not written
translated.
by
It
El
wasn't
Torres.
written by him. It was written and art by the same guy. This falls into Bill's wheelhouse because Bill loves when the writer does the art, does the whole thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
Although
so.
I'm gonna have to change my tune soon once the Geek Brunch comics come out.
Yeah, because you can't draw.
Because I can't draw. So I'm gonna change my tune.
You know,
Against it now.
there's a local artist here. And if time allows for me, I'm going to take this community college comic course to learn to draw. And I know it might suck, but
But you'll learn the
at
basics.
my age, like if I fail a comic course, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Right? Like it was a big deal when I was in calculus 3 or differential equations or circuits or whatever to get a bad grade because I needed to get an A or B. But when I'm in like comic drawing and I'm old as shit right now and if I'm not any good at it, I don't really give a fuck, right? I just want to learn. It's one of those courses that you want to take to learn. Just to learn the process, and if I could take it and I can learn something, maybe I could draw my own fucking comic book, even if it's like not the level that I'd want it to. Because you know the level I want it to be is the artist that's on Empty Zone. I want to draw my comic, because that art is awesome.
Like that,
That
yeah.
art is like, in that book, I like the art so much more than the story.
I
I
like the
just like.
story, but yeah, the art is
I the art
insanely
the
good. It's amazing.
well I'm usually attracted more to story than I am to art, but every now and then there's an artist that I like, holy crap, this is the best thing. But this is Alan Dracone.
Dracon.
Dracone. And if you look at the back page of this comic book, you'll see one of the ads for one of our favorite comics, Roman Ritual. And it says, Del exorcizas obesis
That was very demonic.
Yes, how about that?
Nice.
Latin. This guy draws a really good fin fang foom, too.
Oh, and Alan Dracone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alan Dracone is about, I can't remember what he was. What is he, like a
He's like
PI or something?
a PI
Or he's
mercenary
like a
guy.
body, yeah, he's like a bodyguard type, like a bodyguard for
Yeah, it's
hire.
like you're hiring a bodyguard.
Yeah.
And he gets hired to protect this biologist, chemist, whatever, scientist,
Yeah, scientist woman.
because one of their scientists was murdered and she's kind of taking over his research and thinks that she might be murdered. And he's got like a weird science suit, like it's like a superhero type suit.
Yeah, he's got like a yeah, like an Iron Man type thing.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool because it's like sci-fi, but it has that gumshoe like private eye investigator type things, like I can't stop looking at her green eyes. I've never felt like this before. I love it.
There's something about her.
I'm so attracted to her. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. When I thumbed through it, I didn't think it was going to be as much fun as it was.
Yeah, it's got black, it's black and white art. And yeah, at first I was like, this isn't El Torres. But then I read it. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful.
It was really good. I hope I ordered all of them. I'm pretty sure I did, but.
Yeah, here, I'm going to read some of it. So, the heat and low clouds are indicative of your typical day in the islands. Moist heat in the air, downpour at noon. I had a meeting with a biogen executive that morning, and the chance of working again as a or working as a bodyguard again. Perhaps I let myself get a little carried away a little. And he's in bed with a girl. I
That
told the
was.
house CPU to make some hot coffee, and I got up.
That was awesome.
It tasted like something died in my mouth, and the room was all wobbly. The perks of living in a boathouse.
Boathouse.
You can always blame the tide.
And then the girl gets out of bed, like she's hot as hell, and he's like, "Who are you again?"
He's like, "Yeah, coffee is ready. There's flakes on the table, and please shut the door when you leave."
And even that guy, like on the pier, right? He's coming out of his boathouse, and he goes, "When is the wedding then?" He's like joking with him because he's obviously a womanizer.
But now he's met the scientist with the green eyes.
Yeah, and they have a reveal at the end of this that, like, they uncover that
conspiracy
against an internal scientist, right?
Yeah.
That was like leaking information. And then there's this villain that they have, like, he's really cool. He's got a cool design.
Yeah, he's connected. He's tied into the machine.
He kind of looks like if you're familiar with the Hulk and you know Hulk villains, the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the big head.
Big brain.
Yeah. He kind of looks like between that and with a bunch of wires connected to him. And he's actually morphing people into these monsters, and he morphs mm-hmm. this one guy to go after the biologist with it makes him look like Fin Fang Foom, like a dragon man.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of giant monsters in this as well. So if you like PI gumshoe stories with sci-fi edge, and then the dude wears a mech suit of some sort, can't go wrong with this. And it was really well done. So it was an interesting story. The art was good as well. So I recommend this one for sure.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with what El Torres controls his company, and he only picks the best. So
yeah, he picked a good one this time.
Picked a good one, yeah. He even wrote he adapted it. So he wrote the English for it.
Translated it. Yeah.
So yeah, I would like, how many of our listeners are going to buy this book?
Probably all of them.
Our one listener?
Yeah. Buy it, dude.
I hope that we do Amigos some justice and they get like one or two sales off of what we talk about.
Problem is actually finding this book on your shelf.
Well, you have to pre-order. So go to your Amigo section and your previews and pre-order it, or you'll never see it on your shelf. Unless you have like a superstore that orders everything.
Yeah, that gets one of.
Which is very rare, unless you're like in New York or LA or some big place.
This is good, though. I'm looking forward to reading the rest. I really liked it.
That was a good one. Then we got Cinema Purgatorio.
Cinema Purgatorio, Avatar's new anthology.
And I had told you to read this one like a long time ago, and you said, "I don't have it."
It wasn't so a long time ago. I think it was last...
Well, it was like three episodes ago, I think.
It just came out, didn't it?
I know. No, number two's out already.
Oh.
And you probably didn't order it.
I did order
it. Son of a bitch.
I ordered number two.
I don't believe
I'm on board with this. I'm on board.
But this is like an anthology, and it's pretty good because they have great creators like Garth Ennis, Alan Moore, Max Brooks, Christos Gage. Really good stuff. Did I miss anybody? Kieran Gillen?
Yeah. And artists, too.
Yeah.
That Rallo Caceres or whatever.
Avatar is badass at finding artists.
Oh, the art. Like, they find some insanely good.
These are, like, if I was like Marvel or DC, I would let Avatar do all the work. You know what I mean? Or if I was Valiant, I'd let Avatar do all the work. Because this is an anomaly. Like, usually it's like Zenoscope type art.
Right, yeah, this is no Zenoscope art.
This is no Zenoscope art. And all their books, like The Crossed and stuff, they have like badass artists. They're like awesome.
They seem to keep them, though. Because like how do you say that? Rallo?
Which one are you talking about? Rallo Caceres.
He's done a bunch of stuff with, like,
Ignacio
Romero. Stuff.
Kevin
O'Neill.
He's done a lot of stuff with Alan Moore.
Yeah, Gabriel Andrade.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff for them as well.
These guys are awesome artists, though. They're like.
And the Ignacio Calero for the demon story. Oh man, that was so phenomenal. Those demons he drew.
Oh yeah, that was
with the little kid.
That art was amazing.
It's insanely good.
Well, there's two artists that really hit it with me in this thing particularly. It was Rollo Caceres and Ignacio Calero.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that like were eye popping.
And I liked the Gabriel Andre one as well.
Oh, the last one?
Yeah, the giant monster.
That one is awesome. Ugh.
Like that one of that crab creature
even
in the
though,
city.
Even they showed like these Cthulhu like monsters, but the way he draws humans too, like the pilots and stuff inside the ships, it's just beautiful. Beautiful line work.
And this is all black and white too, so which really works well because you can see like all the detail in the art.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually glad they did it black and white because like the art like pops. Because all of these artists are like a lot of the Avatar artists where they're like super detailed, like insanely detailed art.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much work they put into it, and they probably don't get
details.
Paid that much.
Like I don't know if you noticed, but like in the last story with the giant monster that came out of the water, if you look at the monster, he has like little tiny monsters on him.
Yeah, like it's almost like it reminded me of that movie Cloverfield, the first one.
Yeah.
Where that monster had like all the parasites coming off of him. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so this has, so what is this, five stories in here?
Yeah, it's five, yeah, six. No, five, you're right.
Yeah, five stories. And I think I liked all of the stories. I don't think there was a bad one.
It was an anthology that every story clicked. Like, I think the Alan Moore one was my least favorite, but...
Yeah, me too, because that was kind of like
I understood what it was, like, and what it was trying to achieve. It did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, so Alan Moore is kind of a play up of Keystone Cops, right? But
yeah, in cinema in general. The one thing that really attracted me to this thing is I've had this dream a lot. He starts talking about dreams. Like you always have the same sort of dreams over and over again. Mm-hmm. And the one dream where he says, there's the toilet one where turds are brimming over onto the floor. I've had that like over and over again. That one in my teeth falling out.
I've never had the turd.
You never had the turds falling out of the toilet because it won't flush?
Well, I've had the turd that won't flush.
Well, that's what this is.
Okay,
it's
that's
like
it's that
the
one.
Turds, well, you're basically flushing.
Oh, and it overflows.
And it overflows because it's clogged up.
Yeah.
And then the turds, as the water rises, the turds flow out of the toilet.
Onto the floor?
Yeah.
So Alan Moore's tapped into the
but it was a Keystone Cop thing, but it was Keystone Cops violently brutal because they like arrive at a bank and have a shootout and they kill every innocent bystander possible.
I think it was a commentary on police brutality as well.
yeah, that's what it is. A lot of Alan Moore stuff have messages, but that's what that one is. And then the next one was Code Pru. This one is actually a series, right?
Yeah, Code Pru is a...
This is a Garth Ennis, and this had the Rollo Caceres art, which was awesome. And if you look at the cover, it's like a Universal Studios-type cover where it has the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and a gremlin like tugging at her pant leg. It's really interesting. But... they're paramedics, and they arrive on scene with this guy who's spontaneously combusting.
Or lit himself on fire, we don't know.
Or lit himself on fire, right?
Yeah, he's burning.
He's
running
burning
around
up,
the street.
And they rescue him. And one of the paramedics, New York Fire Department paramedics, is kind of like nonchalant about it. Like he's done this over and over with this particular guy. And she's new to it, so this is all new to her. And the one thing I love about this is this guy's a vampire, and he was out in sunlight, and he was gonna combust, and he was gonna bite her at one point, and then the other paramedic's like, "What the fuck's
Yeah, it's
wrong
just like,
with you?
what are you
What are
doing?
you doing, man?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm
I'm
sorry, I lost
sorry.
control." And it was just weird and bizarre. And then she finally gets home, takes off her shoes, is relaxing, and is like, "That was a fucking vampire." I just loved it. Like, she just like
Yeah, she
sitting
like
back and
realizes it.
realizing her day, what was going on. That was good.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about the moded.
The next one. So Moded starts off. There's this young girl who I think she's a fairy, and she has this like little pet demon. He looks like a kind of like a little doggy with, well, cross between a dog and I don't know what else. And she's playing with him, and then all of a sudden this badass guy shows up. And then I guess the way it works in this world is people like collect demons, and then the way it's kind of like a Pokemon thing. So they have their demons fight, and then whoever wins gets to take the other person's demon. So her demon has to fight this dude's demon, and he has this giant like badass straight from hell demon who takes out her little doggy. And then another woman shows up. So it's basically going to be the story about this little girl fairy who is trying to, she's trying to get a demon of her own. And like we said, like the artwork is just like crazy. Like that one page where the dude summons that giant demon is like awesome.
Yeah, I like the one too where the other girl comes to
Oh,
help
her,
that fairy girl. And
yeah, she's a.
she's like holding that other demon in chains, like.
Yeah, and I think he's the modded one because he has like a chainsaw for one hand and
Yeah, he's the modded one.
like his different appendages have different weapons on them and stuff. So yeah, he's gonna be a badass.
The
So it's a
next.
cool fantasy world with the demons.
Yeah, I felt bad for her demon though, 'cause it was like a baby demon. It
I
didn't
know
have
he
a
like
chance.
took him out in 2 seconds, killed her poor little demon.
It's like a post-apocalyptic world, like Road Warrior, where I guess you to survive, you have to have these demons and fighting.
I guess your demon is kind of like your protector. So you have to have a demon you go around with.
The next one was the hardest one for me to understand where they were going, because it was really politically weird and stuff. But it's a Civil War piece by Max Brooks and Michael DePasquale, and it's called A Perfect Union. And it starts off where this guy has to go talk to a bunch of new recruits. And they're all like in disarray. Like they don't even want to be there. They're not even from, this is Maine, I believe. And they're not even from Maine. So he like introduces himself, and he's kind of like the way he talks and stuff, he's like a morale booster. It's like he turned their dissatisfaction into increasing their morale.
Well, because I think these guys have. Well, he's new leader. He just took over because.
The other one
Yeah,
died.
his brother died. His brother was the leader and died, so now he's in charge. So he's trying to lead these men, who don't know anything about him, probably, or trust him.
But there's like a shocking ending where he kind of wins them over, and then they like turn their heads and they say, "You hear that? You smell that? That them?" Like there's something weird going on.
Yeah, so it's yeah, so it takes place during the Civil War, but it's an alternate history.
Yeah.
So that
I
should be
think
good.
it's going to have a weird twist. I think that last panel indicates that it is.
So it'll be like, I don't know, it's probably like an alien invasion or demon invasion during the Civil War or something like that. So that should be interesting. I like it. I like alternate history type stuff. And it seems like Well, I think this one had like a little text after it too, didn't it? By Max Brooks.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of explaining that he's using like actual facts from the Civil War.
I love when they do that.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Wood does that too, like with Rebels and stuff. He like it's fiction, but he takes references from the real characters and then bases his story on it. I love when they do that.
What do you want to do? Yeah, and even like the characters are like actual characters from history.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. So that should be a good one.
So why don't you tell us about the Vast?
The last one is the Vast. So this starts off. There's some female fighter pilots, and they're flying over. I can't remember where they're going, but they're searching for what they call Apex. So they're looking for Apex. And then they come in near the city and they see that this giant like crab creature is destroying the city. So they start engaging with it. And then one of the fighters goes off to look for Apex, and then they find it. And it's like this gigantic like monster that comes out from the sea. And he's like covered in like tentacles, and he has eyes everywhere and little creatures everywhere on his body.
A lot of detail.
Yeah, and again, the art is just like phenomenal. So this is a kind of like a kaiju type story. So you got these giant monsters attacking the city, and then these female fighter pilots engaging them. That's a Crystal's Gage one. So like all of these stories, like the combination of the art in all of them was phenomenal, and then each of the stories was interesting enough that you want to see where they're going with them.
Yeah.
But good job, Avatar.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Me too.
So let's see. We got Empty Zone. I'd like you to start off with that one because you read the trade. And I had read the first two issues. I think we might have covered issue one way back when. I'm pretty sure we did because I read it. And I read one and two, and it must have been about a year ago, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and, so this is first off, the art, like we said, crazy beautiful. So this is written and drawn by Jason Sean Alexander. And I think this has had like a couple volumes before this, right? Or at least one.
Yeah.
Volume before this.
Matter of fact, I thought it was this. Like, was it like a reprint thing, like Wraithborn, like a remastered? I don't know the answer to that because there were two series before. But yeah, I think it's new material.
Yeah, I believe it's new material. So it starts off this woman. What was the start? Was she like in a bar or something? Oh no, she gets a job like from this eight dude, this dude with an eight painted on his face, and she's kind of like a gun for hire, isn't she? And she has like this robotic arm, but then she starts having these weird, crazy dreams about former members of this elite force that she used to be on who are dead. But I don't know if you can't really tell if they're dreams or if they're real, right? Because she keeps getting attacked and not knowing who's attacking her.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it because, like I said, I read one and two a long time ago, and what's fresh in my head are three, four, and five.
Yeah. Because in the first one, well, she's at the bar, and then she gets hired to get information from some dude. And she gets it from him in the bar by licking him.
What?
Remember, she like licks his like...
Are you serious, or are you throwing in your liquor shit?
She... No. Yeah, they probably were listening to the... our episode where we talked about the liquor. So she licks him, but she licks, like, he has, like, these terminal things on his neck that she licks to connect to his neural network. And she downloads his information.
Okay, now I'm vaguely remembering this scene.
And then this, like, killer robot comes in, and she ends up reprogramming the robot so it becomes a janitor for the bartender. And then in the second issue, she's driving around with that dude. What happened in this one? I don't remember.
I can't help you there. I can help you with the third, fourth, and fifth.
I think that's just where... I think in the second one, she gets attacked by... Yeah, she gets attacked by that dude who's like half robotic, half like a ghost almost. And she's like freaking out, doesn't know what's going on.
I think those dudes... If I can link it back to what it's fresh in my head, are like ghosts from people she killed. Like, she killed her own crew, right? And then, like, this whole story is like her trying to be able to release these people that are kind of like stuck in that zone of between death and
the empty zone.
Empty zone, yeah. So she. I mean, that's what the gist of this story is. I think the gist is that she was put into this corporation. She was very loyal to this corporation. She got into falling orders, and then she got an order to kill, like, her own people. And then she did it, and these guys are stuck in that empty zone, and they come after her. And she's there with her friend, like, and her friend is like, yeah, he'll come to the rescue every now and then, but he doesn't want to deal with the bad shit. And then she has a sex scene that we talked about with one of her friends, and she accidentally kills her because her arm just loses control, right? It kind of was hard for me to tell what actually happened because the panel was very...
I don't remember if...
I got the impression the arm killed her, and that's why...
I think she killed her.
I thought she did. Because then she went back to that corporation, and she's like, I lost control of my arm. You know, what the hell's going on?
I thought it was some other dude, but I could be wrong.
I think they were in the room together having sex. Where'd the other dude come from? Unless he was one of the guys from the empty zone.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Or maybe the guy in the empty zone took over her arm. Because that led her to the corporation. And then the weird guy with the Cthulhu mouth. With all the tentacles coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the story was her going after that guy. It's weird because there's some panels here that are like really, really detailed and like... some of the best art ever. And then there's like some action scenes, like when she kills her girlfriend, that's, to me, was real ambiguous.
Yeah.
Because it was just her standing there, and you vaguely see something in her gut. Like, I don't know, it's weird. It's not rendered very detailed, so you can see what happened.
Yeah, that's... The art is kind of, a lot of times, a little abstract, which it makes it beautiful, but yeah, at times, some of the panels is kind of hard to tell exactly what's going on. But I liked it a lot.
Are you getting volume 2?
I am going to get volume 2.
It's not out yet, but they're three into their next volume.
Okay.
And it took a long hiatus. It really did.
Well, he's doing the art and story, so
yeah,
I'm sure he.
But it wasn't one of those. It wasn't one of those ones that solicited and you get your money back. He's scheduling it like Saga, you know.
Yeah,
like,
taking a break between.
He takes a break and then.
Well, he
solicits it.
He takes takes a break in terms of solicitations, but I'm sure he's working the full time, just trying to get ahead.
Yeah.
Trying to build up a... Oh, yeah, here we go. FD Zone Volume 2 is solicited this month.
There you go.
Well, it looks like he had help on the writing and the art in this next arc. Because there's story, there's two people listed for story and two are listed for art, so. No, oh, okay. Well, I guess in the other artist did the coloring in the current book, so that's probably just the colorist. Which I was actually surprised, I remember I looked at that, I was actually surprised that the color was actually done by someone else, because it seems so integral to the art.
Yeah, it's a darker tone.
So I was surprised that there was another person who actually did the coloring in this. Because, yeah, it's very stylized art.
Well, who knows if this guy, like, works other jobs or whatever. Because that other, the article you posted on the Geek Brunch podcast thread was damn depressing. About our the guy that we follow, Bomb Queen and Jimmy Robinson. About I mean, he's doing it because he loves to do it, but he's not making any money off of it.
Yes, support Jimmy. Oh, I meant to read number 2 of Power Lines, but I forgot. Son of a bitch. I should have added that to the list.
You should have.
Son of a bitch. I did read number 1.
I have not yet. I buy all mall. I just haven't read it.
Yeah, Power Lines is good. That's about... I have to remember now. It's like a kid from the inner city who has powers when he's in the suburbs. Like, there's some connection between him, a suburban mom, and someone else where they all kind of get powers. I'll have to read it again. It's been a while since I read it. But it's good. For a review.
I would say one of his best received ones was the 5 Weapons. At least that people were talking about.
Yeah, that was, I mean, 5 Weapons.
People love Bomb Queen, but Bomb Queen is one of his adult yeah, oriented books.
Yeah, 5 Weapons was a brilliant series.
There was the Empty, right?
I think the Empty was after 5 Weapons.
Weapons it was, yeah.
Yeah. That's about that girl in that weird world.
Yeah, and now we have Power Lines.
Yeah, if you're looking for an entrance point, I would say 5 Weapons is... You can't go wrong with 5 Weapons.
Or if you want something a little risque, Bomb Queen.
Okay, I can't go wrong with Bomb Queen either.
It's adult humor is what it is. Because it's in a world of superheroes where she's a villain and she's taken over one of the cities.
What up? Do we have anything else? Is there another one?
I don't remember.
Oh, Voracious, number 1.
Oh, yeah. This one started off really, really good. Like, I really liked it. And then it got really, really weird. It almost fits into the Geek Brunch comic book. It's something that Geek Brunch Publications would publish.
So this was... It's about a kid whose uncle dies. Uncle who he didn't really know. I think he had met him once. And he inherited his estate, which is in the middle of the desert. Right?
Yeah.
Like Albuquerque or something?
I don't know if they said the place, did they?
Utah. Black That's Fossil, right. Utah. Yeah, so it's in Utah. But
he was working there, too. He was working there as like a cook.
Yeah, that's right. He moved. He moved there because he couldn't find work in New
Or is
York.
that his gra is that
Oh
his
no.
grandmother he's taking care of too?
Yeah, that's what it is. So he was working in New York. He was working his way up to be a famous chef, but then his restaurant burned down and killed like his sister and stuff, right? And his parents maybe.
I don't think it was his fault, though, right?
No, I don't. He wasn't even there, I don't think, when it happened, so.
No, he was coming back with the groceries. And he
Yeah.
wasn't even like a cook. He was like a cook in training, I think.
Okay, is that what it was?
Yeah, he had finally like got his big break.
Okay, he got a job at this
Maybe
place.
like to be a sous chef or something, you know?
Yeah.
What do they call the chefs that are assistants? Are they sous chefs? Sous chef. But he had that tragic death of his sister, who he obviously was real close to, and then he like gave up on his life, and he had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend wants him to get over it. Wow, this sounds like a movie I just watched. What the hell is this?
Yeah, so and so he moves to Utah where his grandmother lives and gets a job as like a short order cook, right?
Yeah, he has that argument with that old guy. Like, and then he like leaves, and then it gets like it like speed up in plot because out of nowhere, it's like your uncle died. He left you this whole house. He left you $500,000, and he was real eccentric. He had a house in the middle of nowhere. It was a weird house. He goes to the house. It's like in the side of a mountain. It has like a door that you would see on like the Fortress of Solitude, a circular door, and he goes in there and there's all kinds of weird artifacts, and he has like a images of his uncle telling him about the place and stuff. But it's like he could get into this suit, go in this water, and then go back to prehistoric days. And then it gets really weird because he accidentally kills like a what were those called? The flying birds, a pterodactyl.
A pterodactyl.
There was a couple. There's two names for him. Pterodactyl is the only one that I remember. He kills one of those trying to save his life because it comes after him, and part of the suit like burns it, and then he like eats it, and he's like, "Damn, this is
It's
awesome.
delicious.
This tastes like fantastic. It's like the best thing I've ever ate." So he like cuts up that bird, and then when his suit is charged up again, he could go back home. And he goes back home and he takes all this beef with him, puts it in the freezer, and then he makes some sliders and then he gives it to their friends, and the friends are like, "Oh my God, these are the best sliders I've ever had in my life. What is it?" You know, and he kind of builds from there, and then the grandmother's getting really weird with that knife. Like she knows something. I know she knows something. But it's not really straightforward on what she knows.
Right. Well, she knew she knew more about what the
Uncle was
uncle was
doing.
doing than she was letting on. 'Cause I think at first she said she didn't really know him and never talked to him.
Yeah.
This is a big first issue.
Yeah, it took a long time to read. It was like 64 pages for $4.99. There was a lot of content. It was pretty dense. Had dinosaurs. Who knows
Food.
where they're gonna go with this from here on out? They introduce a supporting cast. Like there's one girl that really loves him, and the grandmother likes a lot, but he doesn't notice her as a girl, like a girlfriend, a love interest. He notices her as a friend.
Classic.
Yeah, and then his other girl friend is in New York. And then there's this other guy who was ex-military, right? And he comes and he gets him remembering his past and he flips out and goes nuts for a little bit on him. What did I watch that this thing sounds so familiar, especially with the girl that came back in his life? I don't know. Maybe I dram it. I don't know. I think that covers all the books that we were going to talk about.
Yep, I believe so.
I just have one other thing. I read Captain America because of the controversy, and I didn't want to get spoiled. So I read Captain America number one, and I did a podcast on that. And then I wanted to know how I got there. So I went back and read every single issue of Pleasant Hill. It tied in through all the Avengers titles, Uncanny, All New Avengers, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., several other titles, Illuminati, a bunch of titles, and then it had two bookends and a prequel. And it was awesome. It focused on Maria Hill, who's the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D., having this part of the cosmic cube called the cubic, and that cubic was it formed itself into a little girl, and she had this little girl like make a prison. Like, have you ever seen that movie Pleasantville? Like, it was like a perfect world. Except this was called Pleasant Hill, and it's where they like brainwashed criminals and put them in there. And Baron Zemo was there with his Thunderbolts, like the original Thunderbolts. And he finally realizes that they're being duped, and this world that they're in, it's like a perfect world, isn't where they really are, that they're being imprisoned. And he starts taking his team back, and they escape, and they are able to get the villains to realize what's going on, and the little girl freaks out and stuff. And Cap goes there, and this is where Cap actually gets his youth back, is she has like the power of a god, and she's able to, as he's being beaten to death by one of the characters, she restores his youth back so he can fight back. I think he's fighting Crossbones at the time, and he becomes young again. And in one of the issues, there's a really good scene there with the Red Skull, like, and the Red Skull had Xavier's brain from a previous one, so he was like really powerful. And even though it was a clone of the Red Skull, it gets really complicated. But this story arc was awesome, so it got me to read all that stuff, and then I got so excited that I wanted to get caught up on Sam Wilson, or Captain America Sam Wilson, which was Nick Spencer again writing that, and that was awesome. And the thing I loved about Sam Wilson is it played upon like my favorite era of Cap, and it was the Mark Grenwald years. It's a little more political and stuff, but it had a Cap Wolf, which when he turned into a werewolf, it had the Serpent Society, which I absolutely like love, except they were called now Serpent Solutions, and they had like a 1% type agenda where they were actually helping the 1% do the nasty things behind the business and making their corporations profitable and helping out America because economy was good. And it got really awesome. Like, I just love what he did with it. It's like he's taking some things that came out of the Mark Grenwald era and putting it in the comic, and I'm absolutely loving it. So, if you liked Mark Grenwald and you can handle a little bit more politics, because there's like messages behind it. Nick Spencer is very if you read his posts, he's very political, so you can see that coming out in it. But if it doesn't bother you, it is a freaking awesome read and a great tribute to all the Cap stories that happened in the past. So yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool.
Anything else you want to push before we
Come in.
enter?
What? You want me to make popcorn? Don't you go to the basement freezer?
And bring me a bag. Why would you have it in the freezer? Popcorn in the freezer?
Yeah, popcorn in the freezer.
That's weird. Who has popcorn in the freezer?
Where else do you keep popcorn?
Well, usually it's in the cabinet and you go microwave it, or you have the kernels somewhere and you cook it yourself in the cabinet.
It's already popped popcorn.
And you freeze it?
Yeah, freeze
This is the weirdest shit I've ever heard. Are you
it.
serious?
It's movie theater popcorn.
And you freeze movie theater popcorn.
Yeah, freeze it.
This is fascinating. This is weird shit. He takes movie theater popcorn and he freezes it. Yeah, it's already popped. This must be a vegan thing. I'm gonna put that in my comic book. This guy doesn't want to cook his food, so sometimes he goes to the movies and he just freezes his
Messed
popcorn.
up my popcorn.
Well, nowadays you spend an arm and a leg for popcorn, but you can get refills.
There, we always get a refill like on the way out.
Yeah. That's what I'm eating now.
And then we freeze it.
You can freeze it.
Yeah, try it. Freeze it.
Speaking of movies, I saw two since we last talked.
I saw half of a movie.
What'd you see?
I saw this fantastic. You got to see this movie. So it's a horror movie. It's incredibly suspenseful and really gets under your skin. It's very atmospheric. And like the way they set up the suspense is just brilliant. I
She only watched half of it.
watch half of it. It's called The Witch.
Oh, I know
And
what you're
it's
poking at. You're poking the bear.
well, and it's so fucking boring that I can only make halfway through.
Bill watched The Witch, and he said it was so fucking boring. He only watched half of it. Oh God, I gotta tell you. You need to have a discussion with Chris.
Is he a big fan of The Witch?
Yeah. Because this is perfect because he kind of said we didn't like it because we like the big adventure films. But you're the most pretentious person I know. And for you to like say this bored you to tears, that you have to turn it off halfway through. I almost want to just like text Chris right now and say, Boomer hated the
Well, I got halfway through, and like nothing has happened so far.
witch. No, it's
Except for the fa there's about a there's a family in olden days who moves out in the middle of nowhere near a forest, and then a witch keeps stealing their kids.
what? Are
The
you going to
end.
finish this?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay, so you may finish it.
I think I have to.
Well, you have to because you have to see if the payoff was worth it
Yeah,
for
worth
you.
it. There could be a like chopping off a penis or something near the end.
I'm gonna spoil something for you. There's no penis in this. Or is there?
Damn
Maybe there is. I can't remember. I know there's other parts, but they're female parts.
Female parts.
Yeah. So I watched the X-Men Apocalypse.
I have not seen that yet.
And I am a fan of this new iteration of the class, you know, like since they did First Class and the other one. I just love like Magneto and Xavier because it focuses on them, and then they have the X-Men underneath it. And this book, this one was awesome. It was my favorite. I liked it more than Civil War. Man, I dig that Quicksilver. He's the way they film this Quicksilver and the humor that they put to him is just phenomenal. I like what they did with Cyclops. They had Jean Grey. They have Nightcrawler. You have Psylocke, but she's really not, and it's what's her name, but she's really not, she's just there, like for eye candy.
All right.
And she's one of the four horsemen of Apocalypse. And then you have Archangel and
Yay.
yeah. Who else is in that group? Oh, Storm. And there's one other I'm missing. Ooh, I can't remember the other one. There's even a brief appearance. Which one? Okay. I won't. Barb's yelling at me. She says, "Don't spoil the middle."
Ah.
Because there's a surprise guest, and I won't spoil it. But it's good. I highly recommend it. I think the thing I dislike the most, I guess, is I've never been a big Apocalypse fan.
All right.
Yeah.
I have a certain love for Apocalypse because that was
Louise Simpson. Louise
Simonson.
Simonson.
And that's when I was big into like X Factor and all that, X-Men and
Yeah,
X
that's
Factor.
what.
So that was like prime comic book time for me, 'cause that was like when we were in high school, that stuff was coming out.
Trying to think of who the fourth Apocalypse person was, though, Barb. Oh, I know who it was. I couldn't think of who it was. But, yeah, there's the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse, which is different than the comic book. I like when the movies are different. I think I get more out of them. Like, I don't like as much the direct adaptations, but they've
Nah, it's
done.
fun when they play with them.
It's fun when they play with them and make it different. Like, I've already read that. You know what I mean? Why would I want to see it exactly as it's presented, you know? I like when they fuck with them and change things around. And it was good.
Well, and it's different because a comic book's more like a soap opera where it's like an ongoing thing. So to boil it down to a 2-hour movie, you got to make changes.
Yeah. And then the other movie I saw was TMNT 2. And that was a lot of fun.
I still haven't seen the first one.
Why? But you're not
I'm.
a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, probably.
I am, but I don't know. I'm not so into the movies.
I think I've seen every Ninja Turtle movie, but I've never seen the cartoons, so I don't like care about the cartoons.
Yeah,
It's
I
like
never watched the
Transformers. I
cartoons
watch the
either.
movies, but I don't care about the cartoons. G.I. Joe's the same way. Don't watch the cartoons.
Me neither.
I tried. I just can't get into them.
We're too old for that shit.
Yeah, they're for kids.
That was the generation after us.
Yeah, we're
That's like
too.
when we were like in 8th grade and those kids were like in 5th grade watching it.
Yeah.
Those little kids.
We were
Little
thinking about
kids.
other thing,
Yeah, they're a
other
bunch of little
things.
kids. We're past that.
We're past that. We're
It is
grown
funny,
ass.
like, because back then, like, the kids, like, 3 years behind you were, like, little kids.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, they're old
Now
people.
they're
Yeah,
now they're old people, but we're even older.
we're even older. We're still. They're watching their G.I. Joes and Transformers, playing with their GoBots.
I gotta have to text Chris here and just say Bill, I had to turn it off halfway through the film.
I have to see what he liked about that movie. I guess I need to watch the whole thing so I could have a discussion about it. He's gotta sit through it. And
And
maybe it gets good.
this is a person who went all the way through Antichrist, which has got to be the most boring movie
Antichrist was fantastic.
I have ever seen.
There's stuff happening in that movie.
At the very end, you get payoff at the very end, but
Yeah,
then
the
it's
whole
like
thing. He was
watching a freaking
tormented about
flower
his wife and
open.
everything.
That's awful.
His marriage is falling apart. Or whatever it was about. There's that cup of water.
saying Bill had to turn off the witch halfway through, and he's the most pretentious guy I know. All right. Any movie? Other movies you watched?
I don't think so. Oh, I did watch. I finally watched the Last Mission Impossible, and liked it.
I don't know if I've even watched it.
I liked it, but a lot of the stuff was very predictable.
Did but you it's get still it from good. The library?
Yeah, library. That was a library one.
You were able to finish that film, right?
Yeah. There was lots of action in that. I think the witch, I don't care about these stupid people. Stupid backward ass people. I'm voting for the witch. That witch killed all those bastards.
And you know what killed me is that guy's voice. His voice was like an accent in a monotone in that just English. Wanted to put me to sleep. Like, it was like,
"How'd you bad food way?" Did you guys see it in the theater?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know how you understood half of it, because I had the closed captioning on.
That's what I told Barb. And you know how I have bad hearing, right? When we're watching it, I was like, I don't understand a goddamn thing this guy's saying. I said, I wish I could turn the closed captioning off.
Because they're mumbling in old English. It's like,
yeah, it was mumbling in old English. It was awful. Oh my God.
Well, the Lord says, Jeremiah in the vision, you got.
Oh my goodness.
Listen to your mama.
Which was Mission Impossible movie? What was the title? Do you know?
Rogue Nation.
Oh, okay. What was the premise of this one?
It's where they shut down Mission Impossible.
Why?
Because new people took over the CIA and they didn't know what the Mission Impossible group was doing except for wasting money.
Oh.
And they wanted to get all the files on them and know everything they did, but they said they couldn't tell them that stuff, so. Shut them down. Waste no money. Unnecessary.
Shut them down. And then how did it resolve? I mean, was Ethan Hawke, what's his name? Tom Cruise character?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
But doesn't he play a character called Ethan?
Yeah, Ethan.
What happened at the end?
I'm not gonna spoil it.
Well, I want to know.
Well, what do you think happened? Watch it.
I don't know.
Mission Impossible wins.
You said it was predictable. Let me know.
Mission Impossible wins at the end.
Ah.
Just as you'd expect. Tom Cruise saves the day.
TV wise? Oh my God. Is she asleep?
Yeah, she was asleep.
Wow. Barb was giving Harley some egg and she was out of it right in front of me, like asleep, passed out.
Nice.
She had to put it near her nose and she still didn't wake up. Any TV you want to mention?
Not really. We finished The Arrow.
Yeah, we did too.
Or not The Arrow. Flash.
We finished that too. What'd you think?
It was awesome.
But what a dumbass.
Yeah.
He didn't really think things through, I don't think.
He never thinks things through.
He frustrates the hell out of me.
That's the appeal of his character. He's young and impulsive.
He's young and impulsive, but he's Barry. He's not Impulse. If he was Impulse, I'd say, yeah.
Hey, he's impulsive.
He fucked everything up. And
he's
now we're going to enter the new 52.
Yep, new 52 is starting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go.
That would be awesome if they went into Flashpoint, but I know they can't do that. It's too big. It involves too many characters.
Yeah, and they're limited to what characters they have, so.
Yeah. Well, they have them all. But I don't think they would do anything to let them have Batman and stuff.
Right. They have Supergirl, that's it.
Yeah. But it's like an alternate, it's like an Elseworlds, the whole Flashpoint world. So that could be interesting. I finished Arrow, and that was a good finale. You don't watch it anymore because you thought it was too CW.
Yeah, it was too CW. Too many pretty people hanging out at the club trying to get laid. And they're all stupid, too.
Barb likes Arrow, especially now that what's-her-name's gone.
Because the guys are always taking their shirts off.
She doesn't
they're
like it.
They're always on the island without their shirts on.
She doesn't like it because they're shirtless
men. They're big birds. I mean, beards, not birds. They're big beards, hairy chests, big muscle bodies.
People that are not me.
Fantasy, you can fantasize.
Are you insulting me? Are you like? Did you just say what I think you said? or did you not intentionally just say that? Are you saying that?
I'm saying
with me, she could be fantasizing that she's with these pretty boys. Is that what you just implied?
I did not say that.
Yeah, I know you didn't say it directly, but that's what I heard.
You'd have to ask her.
Oh my God, I can't.
Look, I don't know what she fantasizes about when she's with you. Maybe we can discuss it at Heroes.
He wants to discuss it at Heroes. What you fantasize about when you're with me. Oh my God. So, we watched the first episode of Outcast. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's on like AMC or something.
No, it's on Cinemax.
Skinamax.
Yeah.
I don't get that channel.
That's why I could talk about it. Did you read the comic? It was Robert Kirkman.
I read number one.
Yeah. This one, I haven't seen anybody go ballistic over, like, on the internet. But I think if it was on Fox, there would be a lot of people protesting this.
Really?
Because there's a possessed kid, and the one kid that, I mean, the one young adult that has, like, powers, he beats the shit out of this kid that's possessed. But it is dark, and it's horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good.
Cool. Yeah, I look forward to seeing it one day.
And then we watched Frozen again. Have you seen that one? Not the not the cartoon.
Oh, that's the one with
the horror movie.
Yeah, like Sven and what was the snowman called?
No, not the cartoon. We're talking about the horror movie.
I don't know if it was a horror, but I mean, there are some scary parts in the cartoon, but I wouldn't call it a horror.
I'm not talking about the cartoon.
It's pretty kid-friendly. I know a lot of kids who like it.
I'm talking about the horror movie where those guys get caught up on the lift.
I've never seen that one.
You should see it.
I like the cartoon.
It's not based on the cartoon, goddammit.
No, the cartoon is based on the movie, right?
No, they have nothing to do with one another.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't think so.
You have it on DVD? It was on cable,
bro. Look it up. Yeah, it was on cable.
I'm going to look it up. How was it? Well, is it worth looking up?
Have you ever seen Open Water?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
It's the people in the ocean, right?
Right.
So there's people on a ski lift.
Yes. It's the open water in the snow.
It's not streaming.
No, I don't think it is. And then the other movie we watched is Wind Chill, which was interesting. They're both frozen themes,
Yeah,
but
is that based on the movie Frozen?
no, it's not based on Frozen. It's the sequel, Bill. It's the sequel.
Well, the sequel to Frozen.
This one is about a creepy ass dude that doesn't know how to ask girls out. So he like stalked her and learned what she liked and what she didn't like. And he made it look like he could give her a drive to wherever she was going, like during the spring break or whatever. The Christmas break. So he could drive her back to, because they're from the same place, but he lied about it, and they go on this trip, and their car gets stuck in the middle of nowhere, and there's ghosts involved. It's crazy. It's a pretty good movie. It's one of those movies that it actually started right after Frozen, and
A theme.
there's a theme.
Well, these are apparently on Stars.
Yeah, I think that's where we saw him, Stars Encore or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's got Emily Blunt in it.
Yeah, it does. It was pretty good. It's one of those movies I didn't think was going to be good, but it was pretty decent. Yeah, he already named it. So, that's
Tell
all.
Barbara I already know that Emily Blunt is in it.
Barb, he says he already knows that Emily Blunt's in it.
But thank her for her contributions to the show.
But thank you for your contributions to Geek Brunch. Oh, we have some questions, Bill.
All right.
We have two questions from listeners.
Welcome
Okay.
to Question Time on Geek Brunch Podcast. You have questions?
This one is for
We
Bill.
have answers.
Why do you create
Why do you
characters
freeze
like
popcorn?
the questionnaire when you know that Mike has the guesser? Why do you create things that you try to steal his ideas? No, that was my question. Now,
Well,
this is a.
because when I create things and then they're stolen, I have no control over that.
That makes no sense.
Thank you.
All right.
Here you go, royalty-free samples.
Ross Machad, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, at Old School Ross, says, at Heroes, what artist or writer do you want to visit? And is there a certain special issue you'll be hunting down for while you're there?
Welcome to questions.
Yeah. Do you have an answer? Oh, you're playing music?
Thank you for your question.
You didn't answer
What?
it. Is that what you do? You answer in song?
What was the question? I wasn't listening.
It says at Heroes,
I
what
was b busy looking for a theme song.
at Heroes, what artist or writer do you want to visit most?
Oh, interesting question. I haven't actually looked to see who's going to be there. I'm gonna look right now.
I think the answer is we're really going to hang out with our
I
buddies.
am looking forward to seeing Mike Myers, Chris Ivey. I'm looking forward to seeing the hosts of the DC Noise podcast.
All the popular ones.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the hosts of Gotham Undercover.
You don't even know.
Under the sheets, sorry.
Gotham After Dark.
Yeah. Gotham After Dark under the sheets. It seems like a lot of like at Heroes, there's like a lot of the same people keep coming back.
Yeah. You know, Sholi wasn't on the list.
Really?
Yeah. But I'll answer the question because.
So who are you looking forward to seeing, Michael?
Well, it's all secondary objectives. I look forward to getting my commission from Drew Moss.
That looked awesome.
Yeah, do you like that?
I like the butt.
The butt. Catwoman's butt. You like it? Like it? I'm looking forward to getting my other commission from Matt Kidd. And
I like the butt on that one too.
On Matt Kent.
Yeah.
And then I am going to try my darndest to get a commission from Andrew Peepoy.
Peepoy. What do you mean you're going to try your darndest?
Well, last time I had to, it was like Sunday before I even found him because he wasn't at his table. I lucked out. I barely got it in.
I remember, yeah, you're trying to get it in the whole weekend, and
finally
you worked him down, let him, you slipped it in. DMC is going to be there?
Do you know if Ramona Freyden is going to be there?
I believe she is.
I will get something from her, like I do from every con. She does like she has her pre-drawings that she's does, and then she sells her pre-drawings or pre. I have three of her pieces. I'll get another one this year if she's there.
Wow, Daryl McDaniels is going to be there.
Is that who you're looking forward to?
Sure. He's a comic coming out.
What does he do?
He's got his Run DMC comic coming out.
Oh, okay. Doesn't he have his own publishing thing, too?
Yeah, I think he is DMC publishing or whatever now.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl makes comics.
He loves his comics. I think I've seen him on... I don't remember if it was Comic Book Man... Or the Toy Hunter.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, he's really big into toys, too.
I could see that. If he's a geek and has money, then.
Chris Ivey's response is, LOL, I'm disappointed in him. And I'm kicking him out of my room. I added that second part. No, he didn't say that. He just said he's disappointed in you.
Well, maybe he can tell me what is good about that mumbly movie.
I want to hear that conversation, so we have to have that.
Have that at the summit. I want to talk like that guy at the summit too.
When you actually meet him for the first time, you should talk like that, Bill.
The devil,
the witches, and broomsticks.
Stole my baby. I sold your mama's bell. Won't tell a boy.
The second part of the question, are you looking for any back issues, Bill? I don't think so, unless they're dime.
Dime's a dozen. No, I don't get... Am I looking for just the usual stuff?
Well, Bill, I'll answer the question for Bill. Bill looks for, like, independent comics that aren't in previews.
Yeah, I mostly look forward to, going around to Artist Alley.
But he doesn't know what those are ahead of time. So,
yeah, seeing what I find. And then usual back issue stuff. I got to complete my Spawn run. And my Cerebus run. Those are the two big ones.
Cerebus had quite a print run. How far are you along on that one?
I have most of them.
So does Spawn.
Yeah, I have most of both of those. Spawn, I think I'm only missing like...
Are you still getting it then?
Yeah, I'm getting Spawn.
Is that the only title that has a lot of issues that you get monthly?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I think. Yeah. Well, Turtles now is getting up there in the numbers. That was like in the, I don't know, 60s.
And I'm going to look for Star Spangled Comics, the one first appearance of Dr. 13, because I love that character.
I will help you search.
Oh, God.
And I will make sure you get a nice copy. It doesn't have
stamps all over it. You want, in other words, you want me to spend $500 on it instead of $40.
We will bargain him down to $475.
And then I'm looking for Ghost Rider number one, if I could find a copy that's non-CGC'd. And yes, I'm aware. I don't have it. Right. And I'm aware that I don't have a lot of Ghost Rider, believe it or not. But I'd like to get that. So that answers that question. Then there's one last one. And this one's from Steven Evers. Which of the Rebirth titles that came out Wednesday are you most excited about? Well, I've read them all. which one are you excited about, Bill?
Which ones came out?
Superman, Batman, Green Arrow, and Green Lanterns.
Probably Batman.
That one is your go-to, right? Your subscription. Yeah.
That's my subscription.
Does it still work when they
I don't know what's going to happen. Because this could be coming out like twice a month, right?
Well, they're probably jipping you because you had a subscription.
I get every other issue.
You had a subscription for a $3.99 comic and now it's $2.99. So how does that work?
Son of a bitch.
Do you get a renewal notice, or is it over as soon as the deal's over?
It's like a subscription for a certain number of years.
Oh,
I think I just did a 1 year, so 12 issues. Probably be over after 12 issues. I think they count the number of issues.
Well, since I read it, I'll answer it in the terms that the one I like the most. I like Superman the most. And then Batman, and then Green Arrow, and then Green Lanterns in that order.
What was the second one?
Batman.
After Superman?
Yeah.
Superman, Batman.
So I think that answers our questions. You got anything else you want to talk about? Or do you have to go microwave? How do you deal with frozen popcorn?
You can either microwave it or you can just eat it frozen.
You eat it frozen?
Because it doesn't really freeze solid or anything. You can just eat it.
This is fascinating.
Or you can let it like
heat up. Says you can eat it frozen if you want.
Yeah, you can eat it frozen. Or you could put it in the microwave for a couple.
What did you tell the kids to do? Just take it out of the freezer?
And I told them to take it out of the freezer. I don't know if you
microwaved it. What if they bite into a piece of ice? A frozen kernel. They'll lose a tooth, and then you're at the dentist.
Why would he bite into a frozen kernel?
Because you have frozen.
He's not going to eat the kernels. What are you calling him, a slow? Slow child?
Sometimes you can't tell.
Sometimes you can't tell if they're slow?
No, sometimes you can't tell if it's a kernel. That's not popped in there.
That's true. I'll tell them, be careful! Okay. I'm covered.
You're covered?
Legally, I'm covered.
All right. Well, this has been another fine episode of Geek Brunch. We won't be recording the week after because we'll be at Heroes Con.
We need to record live at Heroes.
You'll bring your equipment, your reel-to-reel player.
Yes, I'll bring the reel-to-reel recorder.
Commodore 64, and we'll hook that thing right in. And
I will bring my audio cassette recorder.
And I'll bring my magazine that'll tell us how we can record a little sound clip
What?
in WAV format. I don't know what format it stored stuff back
Oh, that's true. How to
then.
convert.
Geekbrunchpodcast.com at
Yes.
DBM00. He wants to hear from you, so tweet him. And at Mike Myers Brunch. And Bill and Mike at comicbooknoise.com. And that's our question segment. We're done with questions, Bill.
I forgot to play our outro. Thank you for your questions. Okay, you can continue now.
What is that you're playing? Is that something you came up on a GarageBand or what? What did you do?
I looked it up on the YouTube. It's Loop Masters, royalty free sample boutique.
Okay. Is that just for copyright protection?
Yeah, royalty free.
Royalty free. So we have our own theme questions.
Questions theme.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed the new segment, the new theme song. It's like played on his phone as we.
Get me to play it. I need to bookmark it.
Yeah,
I don't bookmark this.
you're gonna forget, and then we'll have a different theme next week. Yeah,
A rotating theme.
rotating theme.
Should I like it?
Go to Facebook,
Add to.
click like on
Add to
Geek
Geek
Brunch
Brunch.
Podcast, and I think that's it. Leave an iTunes review. We could use more of those. Get on it.
Yes. Please.
And that's it. And we'll see you, I guess the next time we talk, we could talk The Witch.
Yes, we'll talk The Witch at Heroes Con. Join us for. If you're going to be at Heroes, don't be shy.
We're going to have a panel discussion on The Witch where Bill will do his interpretation.
Yeah, our panel is, I think it's 2:30 on Friday. We'll be discussing The Witch. And then stick around for the Geek Brunch comics pot panel,
That's right.
which is at 3 a.m. in room 7C.
Which is our hotel room with
At
a conference table.
the conference table.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you then, Bill.
All right,
Have a good
I will
one.
see you soon.
Bye bye.
Bye.